Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And a good Wednesday evening to you. Moose Miller in tonight for Jordana Green on WCCO. Kevin Reed working hard behind the scenes here. He's a full-time babysitter when I'm in here, so we're glad that he is operating all the controls and making sure that we don't trip over ourselves too much. Got some interesting guests coming up here tonight. We're going to catch up with Diva Q, Danielle Bennett, the barbecue expert. She's been all over the Food Network, and she is coming to the Prior Lake Ace True Value Hardware Store on Monday and Tuesday of this coming week, putting on a two-night class when it comes to grilling and barbecuing. So we thought we'd catch up with her and get some barbecuing tips because we're now into that time of the year, right? I don't know much. I just cooked some chicken out on the grill tonight. Absolutely fantastic. Plus, we'll be talking about right around 9:35 or so. Our friends from the National Weather Service are going to join us as we take a look at Tropical Storm Cindy. It's kind of an early start to this year's hurricane season. I mean, already you've got, really two named systems that they're dealing with. Cindy, that's coming up into parts of Pensacola, Florida, and then on up into Alabama, Atlanta, and even southern Missouri. But this is kind of unusual, so we thought we'd talk a little bit about that and maybe what the thoughts are heading into this year's hurricane season and tropical weather season. But we thought we'd kick off the show talking about cars. And the latest J.D. Power rankings are out. The J.D. Power Initial Quality Study, which ranks brands by the numbers of flaws that are found by owners in their new cars within the first 90 days. So I usually put a little bit more credence into stuff like this because this is by the people that bought the car, that own the car, that obviously have a pretty strong vested interest there, right? And they're going to speak up pretty early on, right? Goody Leach is a car blogger, and you probably remember him from WCCO-TV. Goody, good evening and welcome.
It's Gordy, and I doubt very much that anybody remembers me. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Well, let me correct that because Susan obviously gave me two O's.
Funny. I'll take it. I've been called worse.
Well, you and me both, brother. We're in good company on that end. So it looks like Kia is the top-ranked brand?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at on my computer screen right here. Those Korean car makers are getting it done.
Yeah, they are. Well, you're talking to a guy who's driven... One, two, three, four. I think I'm on my fourth Hyundai now. It's been a good car for me.
And thank you for pronouncing it Hyundai. It rhymes with Sunday.
Well, how do some people pronounce it?
Hyundai, I've heard.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, especially when they first came out. I think people are getting more used to it now.
Well, they're... Their premium brand is the Genesis, which that's a beautiful looking car, but it's something I'm probably never going to own in my lifetime. And it looks like that's done real well on the JD quality rankings here.
Yep. And I think you can get a V8 engine in it. So that's interesting as well.
Wow. Yeah, no kidding. So how much credence do you put in like this JD Power initial quality study? Because when I look at, owners in the first 90 days, that's when you're usually kind of pickiest.
Yeah, I think they know what they're doing. They've been in business for a long time. I mean, you see car makers spending a lot of money on TV advertising saying, hey, we got this J.D. Power award or that kind of ranking. So, I think they're legit.
It's interesting. You talk about the spend on TV advertising for and online advertising as well for cars and trucks. I'm reading, though, that those numbers of car sales, they're starting to pull back, that people are not buying as many new cars as they used to, and that dealers are kind of stuck with a lot of used cars these days.
Yeah, I would believe that's true. I mean, a new car is that's a big chunk of money for a lot of people, myself included. So, you know, these the quality of the vehicles, though, overall just continues to improve. So, I, you know, if people are buying a car that's 3 or 4 or 5 years old, they're still getting a heck of a good automobile.
Well, and I think people are hanging on to a car longer, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's I remember the cars from the 60s because I'm old enough, and you know, 5-10 years in, that car would be rusted badly and the engine would be using oil. And you know, these days with engines that are computer designed and, you know, with the high-tech manufacturing, if you take care of a car, there's no reason you won't get 200,000 plus out of it.
Well, not only that, you've got oils that last, what, 7,000 miles now? They say you change your oil at 7,000?
Yeah, they say that. You know, I'm still old school. I would change it every 4 or 5, but that's just me.
Yeah, but before that, it used to be 3,000, remember?
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, some of that, I think, was generated by the people who were selling you oil changes.
Sure, they sure were. What can you tell me about Detroit's big three, though, GM, Ford, and Chrysler, or Fiat Chrysler now these days?
Well, they're still all in the ball game, you know, and I think they're having a bit of a renaissance. I think Ford is doing real well. If you look at, you know, big trucks, I think is where the big three still make their money. You know, Ford trucks, Chevy trucks, and the Ram brand from Fiat Chrysler. You know, that's and they make a good markup on those vehicles, but it's what people want and what people are buying. But, you know, it's incredibly competitive across the board in smaller cars, too. And there's so much variety. If somebody is looking for a new car, they better buckle up and get ready to do some homework.
You know, when you talk about that homework, and we just talked about Hyundai, you know, out of the blocks here, you know, doing quite well. Kia's the number one J.D. Power ranking car here. But what happened to Honda? Because Honda forever and ever was the brand to beat, and also Toyota.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at Toyota here. They're down kind of mid-pack with 95 problems per 100 vehicles in this J.D. Powers thing, and that's just above the industry average of 97. So, you know, maybe they've fallen a little. I think part of the equation might be when you get so big and you're making so many vehicles, is it harder to control that quality vehicle to vehicle? I'm not sure. But
sure.
I do know that the car makers are really going after the quality because they understand that's what people want. That's what people actually expect.
Gordy Leach is with us. You probably remember him from WCCO-TV, maybe not. Where can people find you these days online, Gordy?
Well, they can't because I retired, and I recommend retirement very highly to anyone who will listen to me.
So. Well, we were able to track you down, and I'm glad we were able to do that. You know, the vehicle market, though, in the vehicle world, I keep coming back to Uber and Lyft and, you know, the demand or need to purchase a vehicle. As we, you know, I look at my kids who are, you know, she's 26 years old, and, you know, they use Uber and Lyft quite a bit. And I really wonder in their generations and going forward from that, do you really need to own a car?
Yeah. And, you know, I've got a son who's 29. He's actually in the car business. And he says the same thing, that in his generation, people are not, you know, falling all over themselves to buy a vehicle. I remember when I was 16 and 17 and 18, I couldn't wait. I didn't care what I'd get as long as it was mine. And,
yeah.
You know, kids nowadays value different things. So it's not good or bad. It's just the way it is.
Well, you know, and to that point, they can grab their phone and get a great ride where, you know, you and I growing up, you know, that ride was freedom. It was everything. It was a way to get the hell away from the house and the parents and you know, the overlords in your world and experience the literally the freedom of the open road.
Yep. And now you've got 30-year-olds living at home with mom and dad. So go figure.
Yeah, for sure. You know, so as you look at this J.D. Power story that just came out here, what jumps out at you besides Kia?
Well, Chevrolet, honestly, is doing pretty well. They've gotten, there was another article I saw about cars that are 3 years old, so it was 2014 vehicles, and you know, Chevrolet got a lot of awards in that ballpark too. And another thing, interesting takeaway, you look at something like Land Rover, that's not an inexpensive automobile, and they're down at the kind of toward the bottom of the list. But, you know, they got some good company down there, like Volvo and Jaguar. So,
yeah,
who knows? It is what it is. It's a snapshot in time, I'm sure, that even J.D. Power's
sure.
people would tell you that.
Yeah, as I look at this list here, one thing that I also noticed, though, is the importance of car makers to respond to customer feedback. And I think some are more nimble and better to positioned to do that.
Yep, and that is honestly where a lot of the competition is nowadays, because the vehicles themselves are so darn good. I mean, the quality is there in just about anything you're going to buy new. But they talk about the dealership experience. They care a lot about that because they know that's an area where it's another area of competition.
Yeah, and I keep coming back to what we were just talking about, which was, you know, Uber and Lyft, and do you really need a car? And to that point, do you really need to go into a dealership? Why not just, you know, look at the online rankings and boy, this thing fits everything I need? You order it that way. I know a few people offhand that I can think of that have purchased a car that way, really without even taking a test drive, and have just bought it and had it delivered.
Yep. My son talks about that, where he'll have somebody from Florida say, hey, you've got the vehicle I want and the color I want, ship it to me. So, you know, I'm a little old school though. I not only want to test drive the car, I want to sit in the back seat. I want to open up the trunk. I want to see which side of the car the gas filler tube is on. I want to take my whole family for a ride. I want to test drive the heck out of it and see if it's really a good fit for me.
Well, when you look at this J.D. Powers story here in the rankings, when I look at like the small cars, the Chevrolet Sonic, the Toyota Yaris, and the Honda Fit are the top three.
Yep. And that's, you know, those are all great cars. You know, they wouldn't be where they are if they don't deliver the goods.
And then minivans, Chrysler Pacifica, Dodge Grand Caravan, are
yep,
two of the main recommendations.
They own that, which is, you know, fitting because, you know, after all, I think it was the mid-80s, they pretty much invented the minivan.
Yep.
So that's come full circle.
Yeah, and they've held on to that that ground, I think, for quite some time.
Yep.
Now, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, if I could only own one vehicle, if somebody said you can only have one, I think I'd get a minivan.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that. You can haul a lot in it, and with the way the seats fold up and tuck into the floors, especially on those Chrysler minivans, once you figure out how to do that, because it is kind of an origami project. You get beyond that. It is really an amazing piece of equipment. I was looking here at the pickup trucks. Chevrolet has the Silverado HD, and the Ford Super Duty are also best for J.D. Power's large heavy-duty pickups. And then you've got...
How about that? Chevrolet beating Ford in any kind of a pickup thing.
Yeah, but then when you go to the large light-duty pickup, you got Silverado. Then you got Ram 1500 and the Toyota Tundra. Where's the Ford?
Exactly. I wonder.
Is that because of that aluminum body thing that they started here in the last couple of years?
Well, I don't know if it's that, or, you know, you wouldn't think that would have much of an effect on quality. I mean, if anything, it's, it'll never rust. You can say that.
Yeah, but when you go to dump a bunch of CBS block in the back of it from a Kubota lift, suddenly you're punching holes in it, which I don't know anybody that literally drops bricks in the back of the bed of a pickup except for
a
TV commercial.
Yeah, especially a brand new one. I was going to say that's something I do all the time.
Which I never understood that ad campaign, but I'm like, okay, if you want to demonstrate it that way, I don't know how many jackasses load the back of their truck that way, but be my guest.
That,
interesting.
Yeah, I noticed there was some other subsequent Ford commercial that they kind of redid that shot, but they had a bedliner in the truck, and I thought, good for you, because anybody who's dumping bricks in their truck's going to have a bedliner.
Well, of course. Well, Gordy, we certainly appreciate you carving out a little time here on WCCO tonight.
That's one of the beauties of retirement, my friend.
And are you retired in Minnesota, or where are we reaching you?
I couldn't think of a better place to live. Could you?
Now, you know what? This is God's country, isn't it?
Absolutely. As long as you got a four-wheel drive pickup truck.
And a good good mosquito spray in the summertime.
Yes, indeed.
Gordy Leach, thanks for joining me, buddy.
Hey, it's been a pleasure. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Moose Miller here on WCCO. We've been kind of running through the J.D. Powers rankings, their annual quality survey. Interesting conversation. Coming up here at 9:35, we'll check in with our friends from the National Weather Service, talk a little bit about Tropical Storm Cindy, and also what this year's tropical hurricane season may mean for not only parts of, you know, obviously the Gulf and the Atlantic regions of this country, but also, you know, creeping up into the Midwest. That does kind of affect some of our weather systems as we're watching Cindy, which is going to bring significant amounts of rain into states far outside of the Gulf of Mexico, from Pensacola, Florida, on over to Texas, Louisiana, and whatnot. But we're talking all the way up into Charlotte, Nashville, things like that. So we'll talk a little bit more about that coming up here at 9:35 on WCCO. Wow, a little Avril Lavigne, huh? Moose Miller in tonight for Jordana Green. That's kind of a nice melancholy bumper to lead me into this little piece that I wanted to share with you tonight. I've been nursing along a Honda Accord EX since 1990. Bought that car in Orlando, Florida in the spring of 1990. And it was the same week that we found out that our daughter was going to be coming into this world. We didn't know if it was going to be a boy or a girl. We just knew we were pregnant. And I've had that car ever since then. So that was 1990. And here we are, June 21st, 2017. 27 years later, I've still been driving that car. And it's you look at it and you're like, oh man, I need a tetanus shot to even get near this thing. But it's been a great car until tonight. Tonight I was going to take a quick little errand before I was popping in here for the show. I started it up and backed out of my parking space. And all of a sudden it just died. It just died. You could still, you know, turn over the starter, but nothing. Now, I don't know if the fuel pump's gone bad on it. Maybe that's it. I can't believe it's the computer, because it probably wouldn't turn over, right? But part of me, you know, I'll be honest, this is a tough. Am I going to give up on this car? I don't want to sink a ton of money into it, but I sure, you know, I don't want this to be the end. It's been a great vehicle. It's got 318,000 miles on it. A lot of memories there. I remember 123,456 and 8/10. I know where I was when that happened. I remember when it clicked over to 300,000 miles, where I was. Like, I even videotaped that moment. But I'm at a crossroad, because I have a feeling that whatever it's going to take to get this thing to start and run is just going to be beyond the value of the car. I mean, this thing, it creaks and it groans, you know, that you can just tell that the suspension is so worn, you know, and but there's a love affair here, you know. I don't want to let go of this thing. I was able to push it back into the parking space and roll the windows back up and think for a moment, what am I going to do here? You know, do I get somebody to tow it and junk it? You know, I've owned that car outright since 1994. Anyway, Just part of what's going on in my little world tonight. What do you say we check in on the WCCO weather forecast? If you have any suggestions as to what may be the reason for why it's no longer starting, you know, it'll turn over. But like I said, I just have this sense that it's just not getting fuel. I don't think, you know, maybe the fuel pump went bad. I'm going to have to Google this and YouTube it and see if there's some diagnoses, because, you know, I like tinkering. I just rebuilt a lawnmower carburetor the other day and got the lawnmower to run. I had to clean that out and do all that. So I'm reasonably handy. I wouldn't mind taking a crack at this. At least get it to where I could run it and drive it over to a junkyard and say, what will you give me for this? Because there are some scrappable parts still on this thing, I think. You know, some of that's vintage. It's 1990, for crying out loud. Anyway, I could talk about this all night. I seriously could. It is 9:32. We'll come back. We'll check the WCCO weather forecast when you're up and ready here as we jump into that here on the Jordana Green Show on WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Just night here in CCO land. Moose Miller in tonight for Jordana Green. We're joined by Doug Butts, who is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service, as we focus in on Tropical Storm Cindy, which, as I'm reading here, Cindy is about 125 miles south of Lake Charles, Louisiana, making its way landfall-wise into Louisiana. Daniel, yeah. Or Doug, what are you seeing as far as this system kind of holding its status as a tropical storm? It's not going to ramp up into a hurricane, right?
Well, that's not the, I mean, that's the current forecast, at least for right now. I mean, it's supposed to be making landfall, the center passing over southwest Louisiana and then gradually moving northward and northeastward over the next couple of days.
You know, I lived in Florida on the Atlantic side in West Palm Beach in 2004 and 2005, so I remember those hurricane seasons very.
Yeah, that was very, those were some bad ones there.
Yeah, it was incredibly bad because it was like one after the other. But
now,
here in Minnesota, I still pay attention to this stuff, probably more so than the average Midwesterner, because I know the power that these things can bring. And, you know, we have tornadoes here that we have to worry about that pop up, you know, and tornadoes to me are really frightening because you just don't know, you know, you can be sound asleep and they pop up. Where a hurricane, you get warning. You know it's coming. You can plan for it. But that being said, a tornado, that devastation is 15 minutes and it's done.
Right.
A hurricane is several hours of stump grinding intensity that I just don't think most people realize. I've actually stood inside of large glassed-in enclosures of an office building we were doing reporting from during Francis or Jean, I can't even remember which one, and watching this thing rip air conditioning units off the top of buildings around me. It was just amazing, and this went on for several hours.
Oh, yeah. And that's, I'll tell you what, I mean people just don't... I mean, people focus on the, you know, we call it the skinny black line, but wherever the center of the tropical system is, in this case, we're talking a tropical storm. But the, you know, with hurricanes, I mean, the impacts, you know, can span hundreds and hundreds of miles away from the center.
Well, we have already seen a 10-year-old boy in Alabama that died. You know, they had 5 inches of rain this afternoon in different parts of Louisiana. Pensacola had 8 inches of rain in 36 hours. And this thing, you know, it's cranking quite a bit of rain that's going to go up into parts of Alabama. And I'm seeing even southern Missouri on over into Tennessee.
I'm telling you, we're, here across, I'm here in Mobile, and we're looking at, you know, widespread 4 to 8 in some spots up to maybe even a foot of rain by the time it's all said and done with. We've got, tonight we're dealing with, the potential with some of these outer, rain bands with, Cindy moving on shore. You know, we're dealing with the potential for tornadoes here too.
Sure.
We've already, you know, we've gotten some videos. There's some videos out floating around, I know, on social media from South Central Alabama, some tornadoes earlier this evening, but, I mean, the impact. Cindy is unusual. She's what we call an asymmetric storm, which means that you don't have this perfect little donut-looking cloud system sitting over the Gulf. She's kind of lopsided, and so you've got all these impacts well east with, you know, coastal flooding and beach erosion and rip currents and all these delightful atrocities.
Well, you know, for people that
here for a while,
for people that don't understand, on these tropical systems, they spin counterclockwise. So as you're looking at this thing as a circle, it's always that upper right quadrant that gets the intensity of the system. So this is all pushing up to the upper right, Pensacola, Florida, on up into parts of Alabama and Georgia and whatnot. But, you know, as I look at this thing, it gives me a little pause because, you know, we hear so much about climate change and global warming. But you know what? This is June, and we're already looking at two systems here. The other one that's down farther off the Yucatan Peninsula. But that thing, you know, has some potential. It's probably going to get shredded once it heads a little bit farther north. But we're already seeing stuff that's generating up, and it's only June.
Well, you know, every year is different, and the variables. I mean, we talk about all these. There's a certain amount of puzzle pieces. You know, different atmospheric puzzle pieces that have to go into creating one of these storms, and every storm is different. Now, the environment in which every storm develops is different. So, I mean, you know, we could have this one then go another 3-4 months, you know, heading into, you know, September, October, and just get whopped by another one. The thing is, it doesn't really matter the number of storms. It only takes one to impact your area, and then it's a bad year.
Well,
Go ahead.
I'm reminded when you talk about it from that angle, I'm reminded of Katrina, because I remember when I was living in Florida when Katrina in 2005 came across southern Florida. It actually kind of crashed the VMA, the Video Music Awards, were going on that night in Miami. Mm-hmm. And it was like a mild Category 1 that created problems and damage and power outages and roof damage. But then that thing got back into the Gulf of Mexico, and it booted up to a Cat 5 and just beat the out of New Orleans.
And it's, we forget our neighbors there in Mississippi coast, too. I mean, they got inundated and whopped as well. The whole southeast Louisiana, the New Orleans metro all the way over in the Mississippi coast took it really on the chin. But the impacts from that, I mean, it spanned far away, again, from the center. I mean, we impacts here in southwest Alabama and all across the region.
What are you folks talking about within the halls of the National Weather Service where you are? I mean, are you looking at this year's hurricane season and going, man, this thing has some potential to create some problems, kind of like 2004, 2005? I think we ran out of names on the one year.
One of those years. Seems like we did have to go into the phonetic alphabet or something. But honestly, other than talking about where the next cup of coffee is coming from for the rest of the overnight shift, we're taking it one storm at a time. That's what we have to do, and that's what like right now, the Twin Cities office is probably going to be looking at the complex of thunderstorms moving into northern and western parts of Minnesota tonight. You know, they're talking about that. They're ramping up.
I'm looking at the radar right now, I'm seeing that as well. You know, we had some stuff that came out of Fargo-Moorhead earlier, just south of there.
Yeah, and it's the same way here. I mean, right now we're dealing with Cindy, and along the central Gulf Coast, and that's the top priority. But as far as getting out into the future, yes, we have to keep this chameleon eye thing and kind of look in the future with the storms. But you know, we deal with it one storm at a time, and that's the way have to deal with it.
Sure.
Well, otherwise you're going to go insane.
As you watch this thing here in the next 24 hours, you know, what are you telling folks? Because you're in Mobile, Alabama. But, you've got quite a bit of rain that's going to be kind of sweeping through your part of the country here for the next 24 hours.
And we're telling folks here, I mean, we're telling them the biggest impact is going to be the rain. And, we've already gotten, and you read the report yourself. I mean, we've gotten, a half foot of rain in some spots, half foot of rain or more. Some spots, and another potentially up to 4 to 8 inches widespread across our area.
Sure.
Before this thing ends sometime, Friday. So we're telling people be prepared for the flooding. You know, don't drive into areas where the water covers the road, and especially at night, you don't know how deep the water is. We're telling people
even on the interstate systems, because you come barreling up on something 60, 70 miles an hour on what would be I-10 down in your stretch,
right
there on the depending on how much rain has fallen in 10, 15 minutes, you could get a foot of water that ponds up on an interstate just like that. That's
you get
a dangerous
one of these
stuff.
Nasty convective bands.
Sure.
Yeah.
We appreciate your time tonight. Hey, meteorologist
anytime,
with the National Weather Service, as we keep an eye on Tropical Storm Cindy. Doug Butts from the National Weather Service, our guest here on WCCO. CBS World and National News coming up here. Then local reaction, and also the governor getting together with local African American leaders in reaction to the dash cam video and the Geronimo Yanez verdict in the Philando Castile shooting.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.